Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. This is a podcast all about answering the practical questions that you ask. And sometimes the questions are questions that I ask personally, and that is today's conversation. So if you're like, where did this conversation come from? It's just a personal one that I'm dealing with and working through with my buddy Steve. So if we haven't met before and you're listening, my name's Jeremy. I'm a youth worker on the East Coast of Canada and a part of the youth worker community, this bigger organization. We do a number of things to connect with youth workers. And Steve is in southern Manitoba. Steve, how are you doing today?
I am living the dream, Jeremy. Living the dream.
I like that. Now, Steve, I'm excited for this conversation because you've been a youth worker for a long time, but you've also done a lot of great work in the area of counseling, and you were a healthcare provider as well. Is that the way to say it?
Yeah, something like that. I was a paramedic for a little while.
Yeah, like you've been very thoughtful about caring for people, and I love that you bring that into your ministry in a way that, as I was kind of referencing at the start, I struggle with. So as a youth pastor, as a youth worker, when I've had small groups of students, this question, how can I help when my teenagers are emotional, is honestly a personal one. Because when we're in a small group and teenagers are getting emotional, or you recognize big emotions are kind of coming out, and they could be anything, like I just know I have very basic words. So it could be that they're sad. It could be that they're mad. It could be that they're glad. But those emotions are coming out and you're like, this is all changing and happening so fast and I don't know how to deal with it because there's so many different ones floating through. And so I would love to give us some helpful handles as youth workers, because here's what we know. If you're listening, you're a volunteer. If you've been volunteering for only a short amount of time, you will discover this unique privilege of hearing the stories of students in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years down the line and the difference that you made. And so often the difference ends up being things like being able to steward the emotional journey of our students well. That's the kind of thing that they remember. I was noticed. I was known. You cared about me. And that ends up being extremely critically tied to their faith journey. And so although we care about the spiritual lives of our kids, we recognize if we don't do a good job of connecting and stewarding the emotional journey of our students, that ends up becoming either a massive hindrance and stumbling block around their faith, or potentially it paves the way for a much deeper faith journey in community with us. Okay, that's a long intro to one basic question. How can I help with my teenagers are emotional? Steve, I've got so many examples, but why don't you just start us off by talking what we're going to think through here?
Jared, it's such a great question. And I know we all respond differently when teenagers walk into the room where we are, just displaying big emotion or hard emotion. And, you know, we all feel different things when people come in with big emotion. For me, it strikes up my curiosity. And
curiosity.
I love big emotion. Yeah, I love it. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, this is now I'm just going to jump right to probably one of the final points right at the beginning, just in case someone doesn't want to listen to the whole thing and they just want the goods right off the bat. One of the things, just a personal perspective on emotion. Sometimes emotion can make us feel a whole lot of things. I'm inadequate to deal with this. This is something I'm uncomfortable with, or any of these other things that could be going on inside of me when that youth walks in with that big emotion. One of the things I've been just trying to really focus myself on is emotion is just information. Students are just wanting to tell me their story, and they might not even have the exact words that they want to express. And I'm just thinking of a particular youth within my youth. I'm just going to call her Jane. Jane comes and she has big emotions, probably. Now, I shouldn't say this because I know we should never have a favorite student in our youth group, but Jane just, it fascinates me because what's in her mind is coming out of her mouth and it's coming out in extremes. And I just want to explore, what does this mean for you, Jane, to be feeling this way? So emotions are just information. Information coming from students wanting to tell us their stories.
That's interesting because honestly, Steve, I would look at emotion and like when I have the kid that's just flying off the handle or the one that is incredibly sad, I don't view them as information. I guess I view it as like a stumbling block or like the like a problem, because it's like, oh, we can't have a rational, real conversation because right. all these emotions are getting in the way. And so you're trying to tell me, no, 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 you're not paying attention enough. Those emotions are actually telling you a bit of a story of your student. Is that right?
Yeah. It's not always giving us accurate information about the story, but it's giving us helpful information. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the process, right? Is how do we help our students steward their emotions and get the accurate information from that? Here's one of the things. I wonder if you grew up with the same messages that I did. You know, I grew up with messages like, don't listen to emotion, or your heart's going to get you into trouble, don't listen to it. Think with your head and not with your heart. Big kids don't cry, you know, these sorts of messages. And I feel like a lot of that, as I reflect back, did a lot to just kind of form my attitudes towards emotions, is generally that emotions are negative. And so didn't really cultivate sort of this place where I could go, hey, emotions are actually information. What is this emotion actually telling me about the situation? And when I can just kind of take a step back and look at the information sort of end of things, I can then take a look at it and say, well, is that accurate information? Or where did that information come from? Or what do I want to do with that information? And I think that's the process ultimately that we want to walk through with our students.
Interesting. And is it okay to say, like, if a student has big giant emotions, they're really sad or they're really mad, that part of what we hope to do is help them tame their emotion? Like, you don't want to walk through life being 10 out of 10 sad or 10 out of 10 mad all the time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, that's really good. And we'll come to the end of this. Just what do we want to do with that emotion? And we might coach some of that. I wouldn't say that my primary objective is to tame the emotion, but rather give the emotion some words, give it some language that it can express itself and express itself in a way that's helpful. You know, let's say, for instance, someone comes in really explosive, and I go, wow, you know what? You feel strongly about this. This sounds like it's something that's really important to you. And because it's important to you, it's important to me. I'd like you to tell me all about this. I don't need to say, whoa, you're at a 10 out of 10 on this. Let's take it down to a 7 so that we can actually talk about this. But I want to just validate that it's like, oh, obviously this is really important to you. And because it's important to you, it's important to me. Let's talk.
All right. So give me a few handles, Steve. What am I thinking? What am I doing? I got kids in my small group there, and it's coming up. I mean, it's going to be this week. We're hanging out and they're going to be big. What do I do?
Because it's natural. Teens have emotions. Teens are figuring out how to deal with their emotions. And we are going to be the calming presence. We're going to be the guiding presence of these things. And so three quick things that I think we can do for our teens as they come into our programs and we want to work with their emotions. Number one, I want to notice their emotions. Number two, I want to validate their emotions. And then number three, I want to empower their emotions. I want to just coach them through what would it look like for me to act out this emotion in a way that's helpful.
Okay, so noticing, that seems to make sense. Do we need to spend much time on it?
Well, you know what? I think sometimes it's important for us to acknowledge what is actually coming out, because I don't know, I'm not convinced yet that every teenager understands what it is that they're feeling. They're just expressing it sometimes. Have you ever kind of had this where a teenager comes and it's just like big emotion? It's like, wow, you sound really angry. Well, no, actually, I'm just really fired up about this. And so sometimes just by noticing the emotion, naming the emotion, sometimes we can give students some information as to how their affect is bringing into the room something. Because you know what? It just might be something completely unrelated. I wonder sometimes, have you ever had a conversation with a student where you thought you were heading in one direction? This is what the issue is. And as soon as you kind of get beneath that a little bit, all of a sudden you realize you're dealing with a completely different issue than what you started off. But they just introduced the subject with this information that they gave you.
Yeah. So I think you have a tool for this, right? Is it the feelings wheel? Is that what it's called?
You know what? I really love the feelings wheel. And Jerry, is that something that we can provide for our listeners today? How can they get that?
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll put a link to it. It's not our thing. I just have seen it on the internet. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe most things that I read on the internet. So we'll link to one of them. It seems reasonable, right? Basically, it gives a bunch of different emotions. It helps you dive a little bit deeper, right?
Right. It gives us words because we're feeling these things. And often we don't put words to it. We just experience them and feel them. and it starts coming out. But sometimes just saying, hey, you look sad today, or hey, I'm wondering if are you really tired, or are you feeling more discouraged? You know, sometimes just noticing that something, and you know what, they might look at you like you're from some foreign planet and say, no, actually, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling this. I'm excited about that. Oh, great. I'm so happy to hear that. You know what? Sometimes just naming something helps us in the conversation to get us rolling towards that goal of creating a space where they feel heard and understood. And you know, just sometimes naming things helps students to kind of name it within themselves, because, you know, sometimes they just need the words for it. And that's where the feelings wheel comes in handy. You know, so you could just sit down and memorize the whole thing.
Well, there's so many. So that's the other right? thing. There is a ton of different ones. So we can link one or two of them. But yeah, it's helpful because it's like, oh, I feel sad. And so then it's like, well, what kind of sadness do you feel? Do you feel like disappointed? Do you feel neglected? Right. Do you feel despair? And then you're like, oh, I kind of feel despair. That seems to resonate. And you're like, oh, maybe is that like a grief kind of despair? Or is it like a powerless kind of despair? All of a sudden you got more language. So you're noticing something and you're helping to expand on it, which seems right. It makes me think about I remember doing a conversation for a mission trip, an application, and used to do interviews with students to help them, you know, decide if this was the right next step for them. And we had a student who just wasn't really seemingly excited about this particular trip. It was a big trip, you know, it was going to be quite a bit of fundraising and a lot of team dynamics to it. And so we're in the interview and we're like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how badly do you actually want to go on this trip? It was one of my favorite questions. And she was like, probably like a 6. And I was like, oh, that's a bit of a flag. But then we did the follow-up, trying to understand and notice the emotion, because everybody experiences them differently. I said, you're like a high-level lacrosse player. Like, how much do you love lacrosse on a scale of 1 to 10? She's like, probably like a 6.5. I'm like, oh, how on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how much do you love your parents? She's like, like a 7. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, if we're at the top end range of what you're looking for, we found some language maybe that can help describe this a little bit. And I'm learning about how you interact with the world. And so that's great. There's no top end. That's not a problem. Saving it in case something spectacular happens, I guess, was the idea. So anyways, noticing the emotion. Anything else that you want to say about that?
You know, I think the thing that noticing emotion is, it does create some hospitality for that emotion. It says it's welcome here and let's talk about it. So often, I think we as adults, especially when the emotions are big, we look for ways to limit the emotion or to reduce it to make us feel more comfortable and the people around us feel more comfortable. And one of the things that can do is it can leave our students feeling judged or minimized. Mm. And so just to say, hey, you know what? Wow, it looks like you've had a day that you'd love to talk about, and I'd love to hear it. Tell me a little bit about what you're feeling right now, because what I'm seeing on you right now is this. Is that accurate? Or sometimes people who feel sad also feel lonely. Is that something about what you're feeling, or depressed, or this or that? And you can explore that. Using that emotion wheel, you can explore some of those things. And like I said, it does create a hospitality for students who might be feeling minimized or judged for these big emotions that they're wrestling through themselves.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so that's noticing emotions. Once we've noticed them, maybe we've found a new word for them and we're recognizing what the students are going through, what's the next thing that we're doing?
We're validating those emotions. So often we judge them. And let me just, the immediate story that comes to mind is one person that a friend of mine who would share this. It's like, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. I'm not angry, I'm just frustrated. I'm not angry, I'm this. And one of the things that I just noticed is, like, when he told his stories, I would be completely angry for that. And I was just like, you know, I wonder why you're not angry about some of these things, because I would be deeply, deeply angry about this. I wonder what's the barrier for you to feel angry about that. And so it was interesting, the conversation that ensued from that is, well, because God wouldn't approve of my anger. And I was like, oh, I wonder about that. It's so fascinating. It's like, God doesn't approve of anger. Like, do you remember when God destroyed the entire planet in his anger? You know, do you remember when Jesus entered the temple and flipped tables in some anger? I was like, I wonder if it's so much that anger is a bad emotion, or is it that we just need to find the appropriate things to do with this anger? What would you like to do with your anger? And, you know, sometimes just validating that, because for so long he had carried this heavy burden of thinking that he was wrong to feel angry about something. But anger has a lot to do in terms of reflecting an injustice that needs to be righted, or forgiveness that needs to be pursued, or a brokenness that needs to be explored. But so often when we're just vilifying these emotions and avoiding them, we're not actually getting to the true meaning of it. So sometimes just validating the emotional experience that a student is happening can be so freeing. You know what? That experience sounds really hard. And I would love for you to tell me more about it. What's it like to be you in the midst of this deep, hard emotion?
Okay. I mean, that's good. That is helpful. And what's the, if we're validating the emotions well, I mean, I guess it gives students like that extra context. It helps them understand it a bit more. I mean, you just talked about how, you know, you can open up students to have conversation about, you know, something that maybe they've been hesitant to feel. So yeah, I mean, that's amazing. So we do the kind of noticing work, we do the kind of validation work. And then what else would you want us to be able to do with our students?
Just on the validation thing, Jer, just as you were talking there, something that struck me is one of the key goals I feel that we are having as we're validating emotions, one of the things we want to recognize is our job is not to cure emotions, alleviate hard emotions. And that's one of the pressures that we feel as youth leaders sometimes. Sometimes we see these students coming into our programs and they've had a really hard day, hard week, hard life. And we want to bring some relief from that emotions. And unfortunately, we're largely powerless to do that. And in fact, God doesn't even do that a lot of the time, just rescue us from the emotion that we're in. However, what he does do is he walks with us in our dark valleys. He walks with us through those hard times. And sometimes the best outcome of validating emotions is to give our students an assurance that someone's going to walk alongside them through this difficult challenge. And, you know, if it's between, you know, if we are asking a student, what's the goal? What's the outcome that they want? I think they often recognize that these emotions can't be cured by something that you or I are going to say. But sometimes they just want company, someone to walk with them. They need a hug. They need, you know, just to know that someone understands. And so I think that's one of the things that we do when we validate emotions.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and then what do we do?
Then finally, as we've validated, as we've noticed and validated these emotions, and we just want to give power to them. We want to empower them to do things that are appropriate or helpful in that. So tracking back to this friend that I was talking about that was feeling deep anger, I was like, first of all, we noticed it. Second of all, validated. This is an okay experience for you to be having. The next question is, what do you want to do with this anger? And in this case, I was like, you know, sometimes when people get angry, they need to yell. And it's like, it's just you and me in a room here. Do you want to just yell at me? Would that make you feel better? No, that's not my personality. I was like, oh, cool. Good. Because I didn't really want to be yelled at either. But, you know, some people write. Some people use music. Some people go for a walk and they vent. You know, what would you like to do? And as we walked through some of these things, this person found some helpful tools. I was like, oh, actually, I just like to write this all out. And then when I'm done feeling it, I can light it on fire and release it to God. I was like, that sounds like a good and healthy way to process your anger, to release your anger, and to just find some meaning in this. Wow. So then I just want to sit with these students, say, hey, what do you want to do with this? You know, what do you want to do about your, you know, your feeling of sadness or whatever? Well, maybe I just need some time and space to cry. How can I help you in that? Would you like to do that together with me? You know, or when are you going to make time for that? Would you like me to check in with you after you've had that time just to feel those feelings?
Huh. That's cool. So basically, whatever the emotion is, we should ask ourselves, what should we do with that? I guess that's the question we're asking students.
You know, and I'd like to even move beyond what should we do with it, but what would you like to do with it?
Because,
you know, sometimes the should is, you know what, let's say, for instance, I feel angry. What should I do? Sometimes students will jump very quickly to, well, I should forgive, right? Yeah. And I think of one student that came and was really wrestling with some deep hurts from an abusive relationship. And I remember we were walking through this, and we spent a little bit of work, and we did some other techniques in just processing some of the emotion. And it was interesting to me, one of the shoulds that he felt was that he should forgive. Mm-hmm. And we know biblically that there's an important place for forgiveness in our life. But one of the things is there were some deep injustices that also needed to be acknowledged. And one of the things that he discovered is before he came to this place of, or a part of him coming to forgiveness, was also, you know, just to explore what it meant to feel the hurt that he felt. Where was Jesus within some of that hurt? And what was Jesus saying to him? And so often, very quickly, what he would say is, well, Jesus is telling me to forgive. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't buying that right off the bat. And we explored it a little further. And suddenly he came to this, to the realization, Jesus was telling him that he was okay. And he was going mm-hmm. to protect him from this. And that no matter if there was going to be future hurts or whatever, that Jesus would be there at his side. And that was a beautiful mm-hmm. thing that came out when he was able to release himself from some of the shoulds, because he quickly mm-hmm. wanted to move to that forgiveness piece, which he did. But we also spent a little bit of time just exploring the meaning of that and what he wanted to do with that, those feelings as well.
Bro, this is great. This is really, really helpful. And I mean, I can think of enormous amounts of applications for it. For those of you that are listening, some of this will feel natural to you. Some of this will feel a little bit unnatural. You'll wonder how to apply in your grade six guys small group as they're dealing with things. And it's probably a little bit clunkier than with your grade 11 girls small group. But I think it's probably worthwhile in both instances. Would that be fair to say, Steve?
You know, it's true. And you know what? Honestly, there's times when you need to create space to do this work one-on-one with a student, because you won't often get the most accurate information when there's an image to be maintained amongst my friends. Mm. You'll find that emotional students can be very different in groups as they are one-on-one. And so, you know, appropriately creating places where, you know, you can explore those things, whether that be, you know, one-on-one or whatever your scenarios allow you to do safely.
Mm. But I just come back to this kind of where we started at the beginning of the conversation. The opportunity here for us as people of faith who care so deeply about the faith of our students, what a great way to show them that we care about them and to show them that they actually are, again, noticed, they're known in this community, and to do this kind of work that will stick with them forever, because there are very few places in our world where somebody be willing to take the time to do this kind of thing, to notice your emotions, to validate them, and to help you empower them. So yeah, I just think that's a great way to think about a healthy, holistic ministry to the students in your small group.
And I love what you said there, Jer, take the time. Mm-hmm. We're often in such a rush to fix these sorts of things that we feel uncomfortable by. You know what? You know, processing emotions and dealing with emotions, that's a lifelong venture. And we do have the opportunity as youth leaders to create a space where, you know, maybe there is a long game in this. You know, maybe we can set up a relationship where we might be someone who's a safe emotional person for this student for life, or be well beyond, or at least model for them what it looks like to be in healthy, safe emotional relationships by the way that we listen to them and handle their emotions.
Man, so good. Okay, well, last word. Anything you want to say to people as we're wrapping this one up?
You know, Jer, obviously, we've just solved all the world's problems here, right?
Boom, boom, just like that. But to be fair, there are situations that people are dealing with in their small group or students. They've got deeper questions about. And so here's the bottom line. We actually want to hear from you. No matter where you're listening from, no matter what the situation is, we would love to either help you just over email and conversation, but also, you know, if it's worthwhile that we could actually do a whole conversation about it on the podcast, please, please, please let us know. We'll put our contact info in the show notes. And so you can use that as a form, because oftentimes the specifics do get a little bit messy in how to work it out. So if you've got that and you're like, I don't know how this goes, please let us know.
We'd love to be a resource to you. And I do also want to say, sometimes when we do, when we are working with emotional teenagers, and some of that makes us uncomfortable, it's important for us to notice the things that we're dealing with as well. And there are times and spaces where the emotions might be too big for us to deal with. And we might just say, hey, you know, this sounds like a situation where it would be really healthy for us to invite someone else into this conversation as well. Mm-hmm. And so always leave room to, we don't need to be the healers for everyone. Jesus is that. But there is appropriate space to invite others into as well. I just want to make sure that everyone feels empowered to invite others into this journey as well.
Yeah, I love that. Right on. Well, hey, everybody, thanks so much for the work that you're doing, investing into the spiritual lives of teenagers. You really are making an eternal difference. And we would love to see you back here next week for another conversation, another episode of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.